Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears up and running with you here on this Tuesday, June the 2nd, 2026. 6:26, 16 minutes past the hour. And what are we at about here? 56 degrees. You know, does anybody else think that the nights are very cold for the beginning of June? I mean, the days are very nice. It's not raining anymore, thank goodness. Somebody turned off the faucet. But the nights are still incredibly cold. And I was thinking last night, you know, I have not turned on the air conditioning at all this year. We've had a couple warm days, but nothing that would call for the air conditioning to be turned on. And I'm thinking, my gosh, it is June 2nd. We are 19 days away from summer, and I do not remember it being this chilly, really during the days and overnight, as it has been. If you go out at night, because it's daylight now to almost 10 o'clock, if you go out at night, it's really in the 50s. It's kind of chilly out there. And I don't know what this means for the summer that's coming. I'm sure it'll get warm at some point. But we're about a month away from the fair. Probably less than a month at this point, because I believe the fair ends with July 4th this year. So we're less than a month away, and it is not anywhere near the heat that we usually have for the month of June. But, you know, that's the way it goes, I guess. Does anybody else notice this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So that's one thing I wanted to bring up this morning, the chilly nights. Now, something else I want to bring up before we get into a discussion, I'm sure, on last night's city council committee meetings, which, honestly, were not a whole lot last night. Lasted about an hour. It was nothing big at all. Well, let's get into that first, and we'll save the other subject for the morning as it goes along. But last night, essentially, there were two committees that met. The Finance Committee met, which is usually a lot of stuff going on there. Last night, not a whole lot going on there. Just some appropriations for things, nothing substantial. No updates, really, with the Finance Committee as far as things that have been waived or completed. Nothing is where, no progress is made, no regression has taken place, I guess, with the Finance Committee at this particular point. But I guess the big conversation last night was the conversation on decorum and e-bike rules in Marion. And those both happened in the legislative committee. And decorum, as I predicted, now, I don't predict everything right, but I think I got this one right. And I saw the beginnings of this one a couple weeks ago. When the second reading of this happened, there wasn't even a vote last night. There was almost a vote. Danny Clark called for a vote, but everybody kind of shook their head after that. Nobody was willing to give it a second to send it on to council because people are totally confused by this legislation, and I don't think Scott Kreider, who was in that committee, and Ralph Smith, who was the first one to start asking questions, I don't think they're totally comfortable with what's going on there. So, because of this, and because of basically the same thing happening 2 weeks ago, I don't think this decorum conversation is going anywhere. I think it's confusing. I think they realize it's confusing. I think it's going to be hard to have somebody enforce this because it would have to be the presiding officer of council, which is the president. And the president of council, as we have talked about before, is not enforcing the current rules. So it seems just kind of like a lost cause. So it didn't really go anywhere last night. It was talked about very little. I don't know how much time was spent on it, maybe 15 minutes last night. But that's about it. I mean, there's just not a lot going on there with decorum. So I'm not sure that that really has any place to go at this particular point. Now, the discussion on e-bikes, also a confusing one. Apparently, the mayor is going to a mayor's conference at the beginning of the, or the middle of the month. And e-bikes is one of the discussions there. So maybe we'll get an update on that particular subject. But more or less, that's what the committee meetings were last night. There was nothing... Nothing was really talked about in regard to what's going on with the state. Nothing was really talked about in regard to what happened with the would-be fire station last week being leased out to Goodwill, the Rite Aid building on Main Street. Nothing on curbside recycling going away July 1st. So this is pretty much where we are, and decorum stays in committee. So not much more to talk about in regard to that stuff. But if anybody would like to bring anything up, feel free to give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, there is your city government at work. And as I've said before, I talked to a few, whatever you want to say, government officials before the meeting started last night. And basically, the impression that I get is that they are trying their best to get done what needs to get done. I think the city's in a very difficult position right now, waiting to hear back from the state where the city is going to be financially. And where do you go from there? I really don't know what the next step's going to be. I mean, you're down a certain number of police officers. You're down a certain number of firefighters. It doesn't look as if you've got the money to do much more with any of this. So I guess things are just going to be as they're going to be. But here we are. And again, phone lines are open if you'd like to weigh in on any of this. 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open this morning, and of course, we always enjoy hearing from people out there in the listening audience. Now, the other subject that I wanted to bring up this morning is the, and I'm sure everybody's heard about this by now, we just didn't have time to talk about it yesterday, but it was the automobile accident that happened on Friday around 5:30 out on 309 with 19-year-old former River Valley student Eva Moran. Now, I did not know Eva. I did not know of her, but obviously a lot of people did. You're seeing a lot of things on social media. She was up at Toledo, in Toledo for college, first year in college, and you know, stories like this are just not fun. They're just not... Nobody wants to report on a story like this. But she was up in Toledo. Apparently quite the track and field athlete. And she's in Marion on Friday, driving down 309. And as the police report shows... apparently there was a car stopped, turning into a private driveway, and somehow, I don't know if we'll ever know for sure, I don't know what the police investigation will show here, but somehow, from my understanding of the police report, and also talking to people who did know her, she swerved to miss the car that was stopped, that was turning into the private driveway, and kind of clipped that car, and then ended up in the other lane and was hit by a car coming down the other lane. A Jeep, I think. Jeep Cherokee, I think is what the report was. I don't have it in front of me. But it led to her death, which is horrible. Absolutely horrible. Because she had ties to the Marion community, and just a River Valley graduate about a year ago, I guess it would have been. She had just turned 19 two days before the accident, I guess I should say. And you know, I did not hear a whole lot about this over the weekend, except what people were saying on social media. But yesterday, I was in a room when somebody came in who knew this person, Eva, very well, and probably about their same age, and it was just so sad to hear them talk through tears about this situation and talk about visiting the parents and talk about what they think might have happened and talk about what some of her friends and family members and boyfriend have went through the last few days. I mean, I'm not going to get into the particulars of the conversation that I was in on. I was in the room while it was happening, but it's awful. And I guess the best I can come up with here, I don't have any profound words, but I do believe that we in society, human beings, I don't think we ever truly believe that we're ever going to depart this place, these lives that we live. And I think that because sometimes we talk so much about age, we talk so much about illness, we talk so much about the exercise, your health, and these things are all very important. I'm not saying they're not, but the truth of the matter is, nobody's got a guarantee for the rest of the day, and nobody's got a guarantee for tomorrow. And that sounds kind of cliche, but these situations remind you of that. I'm sure somebody who just turned 19, in the prime of their life, healthy, did not think they would be departing on Friday afternoon. And I'm sure they did not think that all this stuff, all this outpouring from people would be happening this week. So I guess the lesson here is that you really, really, really have to live every day like it is your last day. And that's very difficult because we're all very busy. But you really got to do something that you like doing. You've really got to be around people that you like being around. And you've really got to try to do your best. And also, what is sad to me, in a way, is the fact that there is this great outpouring after her death. And I hope, wherever she is now, that she can see this. But regardless, it's very unfortunate that I'm sure she did not think an outpouring like this would happen if something would happen to her. We always wait for a retirement party. We wait for a death to tell somebody how we really feel about them. And that's when these big outpourings happen. So I'm glad they're happening, and I hope they're helping the family. I never know how that works, to be honest with you. I'm not sure if the family is comforted by the big outpouring or if they're just too upset and really cannot even pay attention to it. I almost feel as if they've got to be extremely upset, and my understanding is they're extremely upset. I mean, she's got a mother and a father, and siblings, so they have to be terribly upset. So I don't know if the outpouring helps. Maybe it does. I'm sure it's nice to hear how many people liked your daughter and thought she was great. Really, that's the way it goes. I think it's just a lesson. It's a lesson to learn that you've got to do what you want to do every day and try to make yourself happy every day. It's not going to happen every day, but you've got to try because nobody's going to be around forever. So, you know, it's getting a lot of attention right now, and much like all things, it will die down as time goes along. And that's when the real work comes in. When all the outpouring stops, then you have to live the rest of your life without that person in it. And that's a trick. That's a trick, day to day. So it's a sad story, and I believe the visitation and the funeral will be on Thursday. And I believe it all happens at Day Spring Church. So I'm sure she's not, her family's not listening to this show. But of course, much like everybody else, we send our best wishes to the family and everybody else involved. I don't know if there's anybody listening who might be involved to her and her family. Very, very, very sad event. I cannot imagine. I just think a child dying before you, or somebody that young, just 19, 2 days 19, it's just awfully sad. So in any event, if anybody has anything to say in regard to that or anything else we're talking about here this morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So that's my philosophical approach to the show this morning. But it's been one of those things that really since Friday, you can't seem to avoid running into somebody who knew of her or who knew her or seeing something on social media. It's just a sad story. It's a terribly sad story. And one of the things with this that I think is sad is that nobody, in this particular case, it seems as if, from what I am hearing from the people who did know her, people seem to have a different story as to what happened on Friday, which I don't know if it makes a whole lot of difference at this point. But who knows what happened? But I guess, I don't know. I guess you just learn to try to pay as close attention when you're driving as you can. You know, we live in a world where I think we're easily distracted by things. I think we're easily distracted. Clearly, the cell phone distracts us. By phone calls and text messages and everything else going on with the cell phone. And it's always right there at your fingertips. Also, other people in the car can distract you. There's a lot of things that can distract you. And I think when we're operating a car, when we're on the road, we've just got to be better focused, I guess, is the way to put it, because you never know when something horrible could happen to any of us. Most of us are on the roads every day, and anything could happen at any moment. So maybe the best thing we can take away from this is that nobody is promised any day. We're for sure not always going to be here tomorrow, and maybe we can be a little nicer to people. We can try. Because most of the people that we're not nice to, if something would happen to them tomorrow, you would not be happy with yourself about how you treated them. So, that's about all I've got to say in regard to that. And again, I'm sorry for her family, and I'm sorry for her friends, and I'm sorry for the person who I saw yesterday, who obviously is one of her friends and going through a very difficult, difficult time. Grief is very It's tough to deal with. So in any event, here we are, 36 minutes past the hour. If anybody would like to say anything about the temperatures or the city council meeting last night or the situation that we just touched on, the death on Friday of a 19-year-old River Valley graduate, Eva Moran, feel free to give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. At this point, I'm sure you did not have to know her to hear about this story or to understand the impact that it has had on several people. So there's that. Okay. Now, you know something else I've been hearing a lot about recently is the two A's, allergies and arthritis. Now, I think allergies are this time of year normally a problem with a lot of people. Eyes are watering, nose is watering, throat is plugged up, throat is dry. And this, particularly this year, with all the rain that we had in April and May, I think it has made for a particularly difficult allergy season, and also because it's getting very cool overnight, and then it gets warm during the day, that can make for a difficult allergy season. But it also makes it difficult for people with arthritis. I've noticed a lot of people talking about their arthritis and how much harder it is to get around with the temperatures and the weather situation that we've currently got going on. So it's a rough time for that. Is anybody else out there suffering with allergies and arthritis? Now, luckily, and I'll knock wood here, hopefully this table's wood, I don't have any issues with arthritis that I'm aware of, but certainly the allergies can kick in, especially when it is this bad of an allergy season. So, you know, every so often I might come in here in the morning and sound a little raspy, or the voice going in and out, or I'll be sneezing or something of that nature. You know, every time I sneeze now, though, I think I'm catching a cold. And it doesn't seem to be a cold, it just seems to be allergies. And it's the worst overnight. Which, again, is kind of strange right now because I haven't turned on the air conditioning, and a lot of times air conditioning will mitigate a lot of those allergies. And, well, right now the air conditioning's not on. So, no allergies have been mitigated. And even in the building that we're in right now, you know, this is June the 2nd, the air conditioning is not on in this building as of yet. So, again, I think it's a very late start to the warmer weather this year. I don't know. School's out. Graduations have happened, but the temperatures are not really going up. Has anybody heard anything? I know we've got some 80-degree days coming later this week. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If anybody's got anything to say, feel free to call in here this morning. Maybe it's going to be one of those quiet mornings where it will just be me doing a lot of talking this morning. You know, that's the way it is sometimes. Sometimes it's feast. Sometimes it's famine. Sometimes people want to call in. There's something on people's mind. There's a lot of back and forth about it. And sometimes, I don't know, people are out mowing the yard or something. It's a different kind of morning. Well, I do want to thank David Newell, Mr. McFeely, from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood for being on yesterday. You know, we have a long history with David Newell here at this station, more than a 10-year history at this point. He came to Marion, and he was in two popcorn parades with us, I believe 2015 and 2016, and also came here for a sweater drive on one of the coldest days in February ever in 2015. So we have a very good history with Mr. McFeely, and he always came in costume and always came with a great attitude. And yesterday he was on because of the reissuance of the Mr. Rogers stamp, which happened yesterday at the post office, and also happened online. You know, it's so interesting to me that of this contest that the post office was running for the 250th anniversary of the country, that the Mr. Rogers stamp would be the stamp that would win the reissuance. And apparently got more than 40,000 votes next to the next highest vote-getting stamp. There's something about Mr. Rogers, even to this day, that strikes a chord with people. And that's fascinating, because Mr. Rogers has been dead now for 23 years. And Mr. Rogers has been off the air for 25 years this coming August. Why does the Mr. Rogers Show still have such an appeal that it will get those kind of votes for a stamp? And this is also see, there's the allergies right there. And this is also kind of interesting for us here at this station, because when the stamp was unveiled, the Mr. Rogers stamp, in 2018, we all traveled to Pittsburgh to WQED, the birthplace of public television, to see the stamp unveiled. And Mr. Rogers' widow was there. David Newell was there. The Postmaster General at the time was there. Joe Negri was there, who was on the show. Walt Tseng was there, who took the picture that appears on the stamp. And I was thinking the majority of those people now are no longer with us. Joe Negri's gone as of Sunday. Walt Tseng has passed away. Mrs. Rogers is no longer around, Joanne Rogers. So time just keeps on moving by. You know, that was 8 years ago. But thank goodness David's still with us and can appear and do his Mr. McFeely song. Wasn't it good to hear the Mr. McFeely song? But does anybody have an idea? Why does Mr. Rogers still resonate all these years later? Why is that still a show or a personality who we have not seen in over 20 years? I mean, Fred Rogers died in 2003. What is his appeal? Does anybody have any thoughts on that? 740-383-9944. Has anybody ran down and got some Mr. Rogers stamps? I'm not sure what his appeal is. I honestly hate to say this, but I was never a gigantic fan of the Mr. Rogers Show. I didn't dislike it, and I certainly knew who Mr. Rogers was, and I did watch the show from time to time. But there are some super fans of that show out there that absolutely love the show. And apparently now you can watch it on YouTube, which that's a very nice thing. But I always wonder what the big appeal is of this show, in which you've got a man, you know, different ages over the years, but kind of a nondescript man who talks very quietly, who wears a sweater and canvas shoes, and it's a learning show. And it has this tremendous appeal. You know, in a world where we have to blow things up all the time, and we have to be entertaining every day, and everybody loves a fight, well, you know, that wasn't Mr. Rogers, and he still has a great appeal. And obviously, I think the reissuance of this stamp would prove that, and I thank David for coming on yesterday. Does anybody have any thoughts on the continuing popularity of Mr. Rogers, or why this stamp won the vote count for the reissuance of a stamp? Did anybody go get any of these stamps yesterday, now that they're reissued? 740-383-9944. 45 minutes past the hour here. WGH Talk Time. Feel free to buzz on in. 740-383-9944. Okay. Well, I did want to come back to decorum here for a second, because I wanted to correct something that was said yesterday on the show. Now, I believe it was said that Jason Schaber might have been thrown out of a meeting because of something he said during the meeting. I don't believe that happened. I believe he said some profanity in the sheriff's way, but it was not during the meeting. It was not during the meeting. It was after the meeting. But I do believe he apologized at the next meeting for using that type of language. So, that's what happened in that particular case. Now, I can't remember, you know, these moments are all kind of fleeting. I don't remember exactly what happened with Josh Daniels, and I don't even remember exactly what the discussion was, but I do believe there was a heated discussion once with Josh Daniels and somebody else. Maybe it was an audience member. I don't even remember what the subject would have been. And I do believe at one point, and I thought it was about the auditor situation, and I think the auditor at the time was Robert Landon. Again, I don't remember this exactly, but I think there was a pretty heavy discussion going on between Ayers Ratliff and I don't remember if it was Robert Landon or somebody from the office or what exactly that was all about. You know, but I think these are things that have happened in the past, but you had a president of council who was effective in being able to step in and keep all of this under control. And I think this is why there is no decorum, if people seem to feel there is no decorum at city council meetings, is because nobody's leading the meetings. And if you don't have anybody leading the meetings, I'm not really sure how you can have any type of decorum. I think that would be very, very difficult. If nobody is cutting people off, if nobody is keeping people in line, which I think is one of the major, if not the most important jobs of city council president, I don't know how you're supposed to do it. I truly don't know. I think you've got to have somebody leading the meetings, and I don't know if we have that right now, so I think that's sort of a big issue. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. I first started listening this morning. You were talking about the young woman that lost her life, and that is just
terrible.
It's so sad. And as mother of a child very close in age, and you know, I obviously know people that age and people with children that age. It's just so heartbreaking. And I mean, all we can do is speculate as to why it happened, but it should teach us all to just pay a little more attention while we're driving. And again, I'm not trying to point fingers, because God, what a horrible situation. She could have had car failure or anything else. But I have a big fear of, like, being killed in a car accident. I don't know why. I know statistically speaking that you're more likely to die from other things than you are in a car accident, but I hate driving on the highway. I hate going 80 miles an hour. I don't drive on the highway because the anxiety is too real, but I'm going to die. But, just everyone just slow down and pay attention, please. Let's not have any more of these stories that we can prevent.
Well, you know what was interesting about this story is, because of the tragic nature of her age and the tragic nature of the death, in a car accident, it does make it a bigger tragedy, because I think people feel it could have been prevented. And the thing here is for all the outpouring, which is very nice, although, as I said earlier, I don't know if that helps or not, her loved ones. I think in some cases it's very comforting, because you think she meant a lot to a lot of people. But then I think so soon after her death. I mean, it's only been, what, 4 or 5 days now?
I think it definitely means different things to different people, though. Like, it might comfort one family member and hurt another.
Right. Well, I think it's just so soon. I think you've got your own problems at that point.
Right.
And it you might not even be paying attention to any
right.
of it.
I doubt much. I can only imagine as a parent. I mean, I know how I felt when my other family members have died, so I can only imagine how that grief would be intensified if it's your child.
Right. So
I don't think the parents are probably spending too much time reading Facebook comments.
No, I wouldn't think so. But the thing of it is that even with the girl that I ran into yesterday, who I did not know, knew her obviously this well, but she was just completely destroyed. I mean, in tears, and she wanted to talk about it because she did for at least 15 minutes. And, I mean, I don't want to go into what she said because it's all just sad stuff, but it's interesting to me.
For younger people, it really makes them aware of their immortality, too, that they, at 19 years old, also can die. And that tends to have a different, like, I have younger friends, you know, like a decade younger than me, that went to school with people that were killed. Now, fortunately, no one was killed while I was in school. I did go to school with some people that were killed shortly thereafter, but they went to high school with people that were killed, and even in their 30s, that death still affects them tremendously.
Oh, absolutely, but I think what is so sad, because even in that 15-minute conversation, and I was not having the conversation, I was just in the room while it was going on. The conversation eventually turned to what happened, because that's what happens in a situation like this in an unexpected death. And when the conversation turned to what happened with this friend of hers, you know, I think she almost felt like she had to defend that she wasn't texting while driving, because she went immediately to that. Nobody said...
But no one knows, so I
right.
mean, yes, obviously her friend, I mean, you know what, even if she was texting and driving, she didn't deserve to die.
No.
I mean, we all just know that that can be the outcome, but it's not like she texted herself into death, you know? I mean, so I get her friend's need to defend her, though. But no one knows, and I do think that they have figured out a way now to tell if you're on your phone when you're driving or not.
Well, that's
pretty well.
Well, that's here's the thing.
But
about
I mean, that'll be an investigation. That won't be anything that they would know on the side of the road.
No. And the sad thing about this is, my guess is, I don't know how far people will follow this case. I doubt it will be very far because, I mean, we know what the end result was, but. I'm sure the police will know, more or less, what caused this accident. And I do believe there was somebody else in the car with her. So there's also that.
Hmm.
And so here's the thing. I don't know. I don't think, you know, this reminds me just a lot of Dom Tiberi's daughter. Now, Dom Tiberi obviously had a high profile being on television in Columbus, but his daughter's death while being on her phone while she was driving raised a lot of awareness for a lot of people and continues to do so, not to do that. Now, it's not saying that she's an awful person, and it's not saying that you know, she wanted this to happen, because obviously, of course not. But it's just saying...
Learn from her example. Tragic example.
Yes, and learn that, you know, to not be in such a hurry, and learn that we are not immortal, and learn that we have things in society now that were not there 20 years ago that can cause these accidents. You know, I was talking, after I had that experience yesterday of being in the room when her friend was going through it, you know, I talked to some people that age category who never get off their phones. And I said, well, do you text while driving? Do you text in the car? Do you glance at your phone when you're in the car? And of course they almost all do. And
you know who broke me of the habit of looking at my phone while I was driving?
Who's that?
My son.
Oh.
he was all about, I mean, he had to do his little online classes and driver's ed and everything to get his driver's license. He got those last October, I think. And I'll admit that I was guilty of picking up my phone or answering a phone call or switching the song or, you know, looking at a text or maybe even trying to talk to text or whatever. And I don't do it much anymore. And I try not to do it at all. And then, you know, if I do pick my phone up, I try to be conscious about putting it back down. But I'll tell you something that I've been reading around on local comment sections that might keep us, keep our phones out of all of our hands. There's a state highway patrol in town, apparently, that has, because it's the same person, apparently it's a woman officer, that keeps nailing all of these people for texting while driving. And it was quite the comment thread. I think there were probably about eight different people in this comment thread that had been given tickets by her for texting while driving. And I think the first one is a couple of $100s, and they let you do some sort of class, online class, so you don't get the points on your license. But then your second one, because a guy had gotten a second one, apparently that online class didn't teach him anything. And the second one, his ticket was over $300. And if he gets one more, he's looking at losing his license for like 6 months. So they're not playing when it comes to this, and it seems to be like the State Highway Patrol, this is their personal mission right now. It's a good revenue generator, too. I mean, I'm not saying that, but they're, like, cracking down because they want the phones out of people's hands, and they're not giving warnings anymore.
Well, no, and it should be that way. And I just, you know, the conversation eventually yesterday turned into, you know, just to look down at your phone and check a message, let alone responding to it. The time for as fast as cars are moving.
Exactly.
I mean, check your response time. I mean, sometimes.
I mean, it's 60 miles an hour, you're going, traveling 1 mile per minute.
Right.
You know, so, you know, 10 seconds, you're gone a tenth of a mile now without looking at the road.
Right, and so, I just.
Yeah, I don't, I'm, and we are not so important that we can't wait to answer a text message. Now, yesterday there was a phone call that I needed to take. It happened while I was driving. I pulled over in Lincoln Park. I was almost home. I could have taken the phone call. I pulled over in Lincoln Park and took the phone call and then went home.
Right. And I guess the interesting thing is,
I don't want that $300 ticket. I'll be honest with you. That's a good incentive for me. I don't want calls.
Well, that's true.
In my hand.
But
by
you know,
mistake.
But I guess with this particular case, because this is front and center this week, I guess this is just a reminder that even when there's such an outpouring, even when this is such a tragedy, which obviously it is, even in that moment, there is this little scuttlebutt in the back of the room that wants to hash out, well, what caused the accident? Well,
see,
you know.
And this early, who cares? It's not our business. There is a woman that is dead. We can all, she died in a car accident. A very young woman. I'd call her a child that is dead.
Mm.
She's a young woman. She died in a car accident. We can all take away from that. Slow down. Pay attention. We don't live forever. Make sure your loved ones know that you love them every time they leave the house.
And I don't think we do that. You know, that's the big problem here. And I don't know that this will change it. I hope that it will. But I have a suspecting feeling that it won't. I don't think, I really do believe we think we're immortal. I think logically we know we're not.
People do.
But I believe we think we're immortal. I believe we
especially
think we're going to live
people
forever. I believe
especially
we're not an emotional group. I don't think we tell people how we feel about them. I think we're okay with being harsh to people at certain times. And I think if something like this did happen the next day to somebody we know, I think we'd feel horrible about it.
No, I'm okay with being harsh to certain people all the time. But if I love you, I will make sure that you know that I love you. I hope, anyway.
Well, it's important. It's important to do a good deed. We're going to take a quick break, but we're going to come back.
Take care, sir.
Okay, stay tuned. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
How do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. What do you? How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not.